Good morning. Hope you guys are really well. I'm excited to be continuing today in a message series that we've had called God Is. And it's about the character and nature of God, which clearly in 8 weeks we're not going to get super far on. But I hope you've been encouraged by some of the things that we've talked about and that it's encouraged you in how you see God, how you perceive Him, how you relate with Him. That's kind of the point, is the engagement piece. So I'm going to be continuing today talking about how God is abundant. And so to start out, abundance is a concept that I'm really only going to be able to touch a little bit of and not do justice to. But my hope is that by sharing a few stories and linking it in with some scripture and giving some perspectives, it'll more than anything leave a good place to think about afterwards. So let's start out with a dictionary definition of abundance. Abundance is a large quantity of something, which this is kind of how we tend to think about it, like a large quantity of oranges, large quantity of elk or deer on the roads. That's how we tend to think about it. But where I'm going to go with this today is that abundance is more of a nature of substance. And in the context of how of saying God is abundant, I'm going to be talking specifically about the substance of His being. Just like Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Really, it's out of the overflow of the heart of God, the abundance that's stored up in the heart of God, that He speaks and He moves and does everything that He does. So when I say He operates from a place of abundance or a mentality of abundance, I'm saying that He understands the actual worth of everything that He's created. He understands the worth of everything He's created. He understands the worth of what He says. He understands when He tells us something that is for our good, He knows exactly what it can produce in our lives if we let it take root, if we let the seed take root. He knows the value of everything He says, everything He does, everything He's created. That's why He can look at us and say, despite that person's choices, I will still fight for them. They are still worthy. I still want to love them. And so the concept that this really comes and brings up here is similar to a quote that I heard. Where it says, like, our choice to love someone is not a reflection of their character, but ours. And I'll say that again. Our choice to love someone is not a reflection of their character, but ours. This would be true of God, and this is the heart of this conversation about abundance, that out of the greatness of His character, He chooses to love and to give and to set our hearts on things that are going to be worthy and bring life to us. That is the nature of God. That's the abundance that we're talking about. So to give a baseline for what abundance is, one of the best places to start is, hard to admit actually, but I heard it out of a movie called Confessions of a Shopaholic. And it's a total chick flick. And this girl, she basically, in the beginning, there's this part where she's trying to buy a green scarf and she's going through all these little hoops to try to get the money to do it. And she ends up at a hot dog stand with this guy. And to make a long story short, this guy ends up giving her some money so he can get his hot dog and keep going. And she challenges him, saying, "You just paid $20-something for a hot dog." And he says, "Cost and worth are two very different things." And I'm going to say that again because this is really important. Cost and worth are two very different things. Cost is what you give of yourself, whatever that might be, whether that's your time, your money, your heartache into something, whatever that might be. But worth is something completely different. Worth is what you gain out of that. And that is how God thinks. He makes His decisions. He instructs us towards things that are worthy, towards things that matter. Cost is something that he factors into things, but the reality is that everything He does is out of what is worthy and what is best and right and true and noble and pure and lovely and admirable, all the things that Scripture talks about. Simplest example, again, why we're here every Sunday morning is because He sent His Son to die for our sins, to take our place on the cross, pay the debt so that we could be free to have a full and unrestrained relationship with Him. Well, how that comes about, like, that's a huge cost. Huge cost, but it says in Hebrews that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Why? Because He saw something that was beyond cost. He saw something that was worth it, something that was worthy, And that is how God thinks. That's how every instruction that comes from his mouth is because he's taking us to the place of worthy. He's taking us to the place of value because it's very clear to him what's behind everything and in everything he's created. So for us in our day-to-day living, we actually process this cost versus worth in tons of things, more than you can imagine. And the simplest one, the easiest one that's obvious, and actually the most superficial one would be, how much money am I willing to pay for this or that, right? That's a very superficial one. So now we'll start going a little deeper and say, one that we also look at is how much hurt or pain am I willing to endure for the sake of something that means a lot to me? Or how much discomfort am I willing to endure or experience for a better relationship with God? Or this one is probably one of my favorites, and I'm sure it'll be one of your favorites too. Is this worth the wait? These are the questions that we process every single day, whether we're thinking about them or not. And this is why God's wisdom is so great, because he while he acknowledges the costs of things, his heart is always about what is it worth? Bottom line, what is it worth? What is it worth? What's the value of it? Is it what best for me or for my people? And that is how he moves. So I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. So take a sec to find that up. Pull it up. And this is going to be from the New Living Translation. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." So Jesus told these parables so that we would understand how the kingdom of God works and the heart of God that's behind it and in setting all these things. And he says, what this tells of is that the kingdom of God, how God operates and how he does what he does is so worth it. It's so worthy that there's not really a cost. In fact, if it costs you everything, you're still going to come out way ahead. Why? Because cost and worth are two very different things. And so he's very clear on what this is. So when he instructs you in something, and when he instructs me in something, it's because he's trying to direct us to a place of value. He wants us to receive something of great value over, and I would argue this, over and above what we could receive if we were just given. It's kind of like the teach a man to fish versus giving a man a fish principle. If God gave us the one fish we needed for dinner, he would have been generous. But if he taught someone how to fish to keep doing that, do you see that he gives way more value by doing that? That's the principle in this. He already sees the outcome, and he gives us his words, his principles, his precepts. That's why the word of God is so big on saying, like, your precepts are so close to my heart. Your wisdom, it matters so much to me. This is everything to me, because he gives us his words, but he gives them in a way where ultimately we're only going to realize the truth of them when we apply faith. Faith is what unlocks the value of what he has for us in his words. In his kindness, he offers us the best of everything. Again, beyond what we could ask or imagine. And this is the reality that leads us to find that the word of God is totally a gold mine. It's a gold mine for your emotional being. It's a gold mine for your spiritual being. It's a gold mine for your finances and how you handle your family, all that stuff. Everything you could possibly need is in the words that he has given us. That's just how he works. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks and creates in our lives. So now I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And this is out of the NIV. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The beginning of wisdom comes with getting to know God. And that's what happens when you apply faith to his word, is that it's like coming and sitting down with him for a meal. It's like having breakfast with him. When you choose to listen to what he says and go with it, that's what happens. That's where the fruit comes. That's where you learn the abundance of his heart and what's behind what he says. And when you see that everything he's telling us is so that we can come to a place of value in our lives, then now we see why it's worth putting other things aside in order to get the best. In Hebrews 12:1, it says in the NIV, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, what's interesting about this verse is that it says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It separates them. So it's not like when we have a conviction to change something in our lives, it may not necessarily just be something sinful or obvious or that's like a no-brainer, like we need to stop that. It may be something that's just trying to take away our attention from growing deeper with God. Look at the challenge that happens for so many of us and all of us at some point or another in just spending real time with God in prayer or waiting to hear his voice or reading our Bibles. Look at how many things try to distract us from that. Those are the things that hinder us, and it separates out the two. So he's saying, like, if you want everything that the Lord really wants to give you of value, then throw off those things. Get rid of those ignoble things and so that the noble can come in. Get rid of those things, not just the sin, but the things that are distracting you from just hearing the voice of the shepherd, your maker, your friend, the one who made you. Because the value is there. The value is there. So when we grow in this perspective of abundance, which is really, again, the beginning of that is just knowing him. The more we see how generous he's been to us to give us things and to keep offering things, whether we deserve it, quote unquote, or not, that is insane character. That's insane generosity of God. And when we start to see how good he's been to us, that's when we start to see for ourselves, you know what? I have reason not to judge that person because I see the abundance, the substance of their being. I see that they are worth so much more than what they just said to me or what they just did to me. And to keep that heart in a good place, this is how the teachings of Jesus really take root. We start to see the worth that's in these things, the value that's sitting behind them. And I'm going to throw out just a few to think about. Let's look at the value that's created by suffering. You know, the things that come through suffering usually creates something wonderful for people if they have eyes to see it. But it's the cost is the suffering itself. And it's so often hard to get past that cost and see what it's worth. But even about Jesus, it said he learned through suffering, he learned obedience. And I'll tell you, obedience is not a cost. Obedience is what it was worth. But suffering is what it costs to get there. It's not always easy to just be, why do we ask these questions in life like, gosh, why is it so hard for me to be consistently obedient with this or consistently obedient with that? Perhaps what's needed actually is a little bit of suffering, and I don't wish that on anybody, but at the same time, from a cost and worth perspective, it might be worth it just to make all the difference in what you're really hoping for. If that's what played out, is it worth it? I think so. Or waiting. Waiting is another cost that we don't welcome easily. For the wait, ultimately when we wait for something, it's because we see something of value or at least perceived value that we want in our lives. And so we try to be patient for it. And patient is like joyfully waiting, I heard. And the interesting thing about waiting is that if you look in the Old Testament, like when it says wait on the Lord, what that word for wait actually means is to like bind yourself up to that thing, to literally take a rope and tie yourself to the thing that you're connecting with, and, which is a crazy thought. So if like you're waiting on the Lord, it's saying like tie yourself up in faithfulness to the Lord so that even if you wanted to like shirk away or if the enemy was trying to separate you, you couldn't get separated if you wanted to. Or if you're waiting for a promise of God, you tie yourself, you bind yourself to that promise where you couldn't even let go of it if you wanted to. Why? Because the value is there. It's worth the wait. It's such a big deal that it's worth literally tying yourself up where you can't even change your mind to go somewhere else. That's what kind of value we're talking about. Out of the abundance of his heart, the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And these are the things he's giving to us. These are the things. Mark shared a verse last week out of 2 Peter 3:9. And out of the New Living Translation, it says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." That's the nature of patience. Why? He'll be patient with you. That's a small cost for the possibility of you coming to him. That's way worthwhile to him. That's what he wants. He wants everyone to do it. And he's very clear on that. Growing in abundance is like, this is the renewing of your mind. Like, think about it. If the Lord gives a vision to you, whether it's a vision for a company, a vision for your family, a vision for your church, a vision for whatever it might be, it's ultimately that the Lord wants to create something and he gives you the piece of it. And when you have a clear vision, there's really no limits to what that vision can make happen. I mean, how many times have you had something that the Lord put in your heart, and when you just stepped in a little bit of obedience, you saw, oh my gosh, this is way bigger than I thought, or the fruit is way greater, or this is so much more worthwhile than even that thought that came in my head the first time. That's the nature of vision, or an idea. Think about an idea that created so much. Think about the technological ideas that have completely changed the face of the planet. No one could have described the impact that they have. I mean, God is the creator of a seed. Think about that, like a poppy seed. He would plant it in the ground, and that one little teeny seed will produce a flower. That flower, it's not uncommon in certain varieties to have 1,000 seeds come from that one flower. And then you have a bunch of flowers on that one plant, and it's not uncommon to get into the tens of thousands of seeds from that one plant that started with one little seed. And not only that, but those seeds could fall into the dirt and they could go under and lay there for literally hundreds of years if the dirt is not messed with, and they will not come up. And then in 1 year, then if somebody steps in the right spot and exposes it, all of a sudden they'll come out and bloom. That's the nature of the abundance of God. He's not limited by those time frames. He's not limited by numbers. It can keep going. When he gives, he wants to give eternal life, life that keeps going, love that keeps going, forgiveness that keeps going. That's where he comes from. I want to give you a story just to share a little bit about some things that I've learned from the Lord in abundance. And this is when I was in business years ago. I ran a roofing business for about 15 years. And I started it pretty young. I was 19 when I started it. And let's just say, especially being so young, that I learned a lot of very hard lessons, and I had a lot of growing up, and there were some very tough times. I remember a time when I had like 11 people working for me, and it was nonstop. I did not say no to anything, which completely ruined any faithfulness to my clients. Like, I was always running behind. I could never catch up. I would jump from one to another, start one, and then I'd go start another and not finish the first one. I remember a point where one of my employees called me on the phone. I still remember where I was standing to this day, and called me out on where I was lying to my clients. That's how bad it was. And I at the time, I thought, you know what? Surely I'm not doing that bad, because I still had so much business coming in. People kept calling me. There was new people at the door, if you will, all the time. But the reality is that all the symptoms of how messed up everything was were showing up in my relationship with my clients, how much I was working in, you know, 60 to 70 hours a week on average. Not being home, feeling overworked, never catching up, not good finances. All of those things, it was showing up everywhere, but it didn't feel real to me that there was actually a problem, even though people who cared tried to say something, until eventually one day it comes to a breaking point. And I remember sitting with a gentleman who took me out to lunch, and he said, "Nick, do you comprehend the amount of resources that are moving through your hands? The amount of money, the amount of people, the amount of everything? Like, why do you have the problems that you do?" And I remember not being able to answer the question. And I, in that same time frame, you know, I was like, okay, you know, take that thought as a mental note. And I'd be like, how can I save money? How can I make this better? And I remember getting so excited about, I found this insurance quote where I was going to save like $3,000 in the course of a year by going with this different insurance. And I was so excited because I'm like, yeah, that'll help me. Those are the kinds of things. If I can find one thing after another like that, it'll totally change my financial situation. And those things are good. It was awesome. But after hearing this guy's word and praying about this, the Lord told me, he gave me this verse that said, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint." Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And I realized that what it's really saying is when you don't see what's worthy and worthwhile as something that you can just keep working towards, then you have no reason to have the discipline in other things. And so you'll easily waste your resources, you'll waste your time, you'll waste your money, you'll misuse them, or you won't use them to what they could be used for, to actually create change. And so he gave me this follow-up word that had to do with my employees. It was the direction that he wanted to send me. And he said, it was this simple statement that said, "If the only thing that I give my employees is a paycheck, I went way wrong." So that's all I had to go off of. And I went off of that, though, and I started to change all the choices in my business to actually serve my employees. And who would have thought, but actually progress became way more efficient. They were way happier. I was more faithful to my clients because we got more done. And the craziest thing about this, I was so excited about saving $3,000 on this insurance over the course of a year. And I realized that just in the difference in efficiency for my guys, I had six employees at that time. I only had to increase their efficiency by like 3 days in the course of a whole year to make that same $3,000. 3 days. Like if you look at the time on that, for me to make that $3,000 just by pouring into my guys, is that I had to encourage them for 0.01% of their working hours for the whole year. That it was crazy to me. The difference. Why? Because now I could tell them why they do what they do. And I could encourage them in that so they took ownership. And then they saw what was worthwhile. Over years, like it came to a point where more and more and more, I went from working 60 to 70 hours a week to working 40 and being home for my family and making three times as much money. These are the things that God is trying to give us, cost versus worth. He wants to give us something of value, point us in the direction of value. And ultimately, it's going to be in those things that matter most. I want to read out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 through 20 in the NLT, which says, "You say, 'I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing.' And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. Anointment for your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." The point for him the whole time in everything he instructed each person in their life was an end result of sitting together with our Maker as friends at a table where he can appreciate our value and we can appreciate his value even if we didn't act today like we should have acted or we made the choice that we wish we would have made. But he sees the value in it and he's patient to hold out for it. He's patient to hold out for it. Why? Not because of anything in our character, but because of the substance of his own, the greatness of his own. I want to share one more story for you and just how the Lord's expanded my thinking in this, because just like the teach a man to fish versus give a man a fish example, I did some leadership and character development training, some experience-based seminars in different places around the states, and they really invested a lot into my life. And in one of them, we had a scenario where we showed up one morning and they gave us the task that we were going to work on for the day. And they said, okay, so in the next 2 days, we're going to be making a big contribution to some needy families, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And what we're going to need, though, is we have nothing to start with, so we're going to need about $50,000, and we need to go pick up the material, and you have 5 hours to get that done. And of course, there's like 80 of us there, and we're all frozen with fear. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, being like, that is not possible. 5 hours for $50,000. And what happened is, after we got over this bit of fear, after about 30 minutes of being like, okay, this isn't stopping or changing, we started moving into it. And what we realized 5 hours later is that we didn't even need 5 hours. We needed 3 hours to actually work at it and 2 hours to eat pizza. And we came up with $81,000. And the next day we went and we built a bunch of houses, and we supplied them with food, and we supplied them with furniture for people that needed it. It's a great experience. And the fact is, though, is that if God just gave the $50,000 for the need, it would have literally deprived the families of what is more important. Because where does he plant seeds in us? In the heart. And if he can break the fear in someone's heart, if he can break the shame and the feelings of rejection that we've had in our lives, he can create so much more. Hence the 81,000. Break one piece at a time. Bring something of value into our lives. I promise you that is what he's doing. That is what the kingdom of God is pursuing you in your life right now. To make great fruit, a peace in your heart, not necessarily that you would have tons of money or that you would have this or that. Get rid of those expectations, but don't be limited by them either, because he wants the best for you. I'll finish it with what Jesus said himself in Matthew 13, verse 31 in the NLT, that says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make its nests in its branches." One little seed can turn into anything immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. Why? Not because of who you are, but because of who he is and his goodness and generosity out of the abundance of his heart that flows to you. Lord, will you give each of us a heart to receive the worthy things that you're trying to teach us? Especially your character. Especially your heart. Open up our minds to get rid of the ignoble things and to step into the noble pieces that you have for our life. Those things that are admirable and just and great and wonderful and bring us peace. Help us to see that starts in you, and that's why we can have it through you, because it is there. Show us the difference between cost and worth in our own lives, so that we would choose into the best as you would hope we'd do. In Jesus' name, amen.